Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is episode 42 of the Archipreneur Now podcast. I am your host, Heath Armstrong, and I cannot wait to get super funky with our guest today, Cynthia Miltenberger. Now, we're going to get all over the place, but this is truly one of the best conversations I've ever had. She's an arts advocate and the leader of Art Moves Everywhere. She's creating this to play a huge role in benefiting children and the way they look at life and the outcome they can have on each other. And we get into some crazy topics. We all have superpowers. We all have the ability in us to make others do greater things than they're doing right now. So we get into how to re-engage children and how challenges are life's greatest gifts to us, because art truly is moving everywhere and children deserve so much more than what they are getting. So if your ears hang low and they wobble to the front, make sure you untie them, because we're going to teach you how to make work disappear, the term, the practice, all of it. Cynthia teaches us what be true, be you means, and we're going to get into Ziggy Stardust and doing the limbo instead of the funky chicken right now on The Archipreneur Now. Here we go. Come on, everybody, let me hear that beat. Come on, come on, everybody, let me hear that figgity, funkity, stickity, stinkity, rickety, dickity beat. Yeah. Here we go now. Who wants to get funky? Who wants to get a little creative out there? Which one of you want to get a little bit artsy now? Well, then get on with your bad self. A skid-a-rickety-dickety-dink, a skid-a-rickety-doo-hoo. Our guest today is moving art everywhere just for you. She's a serial entrepreneur with some super funky superpowers. She's an author, a dance educator, and the founder of Art Moves Everywhere, all the way from Los Angeles, California, Cynthia Miltenberger. Cynthia, you are the Archipreneur Now. How are you doing?
I am fabulous. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely amazing, and I'm so glad to have you on here today to share all your positive enthusiasm and energy that you bring to the table.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Cynthia, you've kind of jumped into a whole lot of different areas of creativity in your life. Did you go to University of Arizona, or is it Arizona State?
Well, actually, I went to both. I got my undergraduate degree, my Bachelor's of Fine Arts in Dance and Performance from the University of Arizona, and my dance education credential from Arizona State University.
Which one did you like better?
University of Arizona, without a doubt.
Cool. So you've been very heavily involved with dance since then, I take it. Are you still involved with dance?
Yes, I'm currently serving as a dance specialist for the Los Angeles Unified School District, and I have been now for the past 12 years, happily so.
So what kind of stuff do you get to do when you're involved with that?
Well, as a specialist, I'm an itinerant, so I go to a different school every day, and I teach basically creative movement. When I say basically, I also delve into other genres like ballet and jazz, and we touch on dance history and choreography. And so it allows me to play as well as educate what I know best, which is movement and people, and uniting them and developing a respect. You know, that's ultimately what all I really want to do, is have them understand and respect the art form and show how it relates to the world we live in.
So have you always been just hugely involved with creativity and artwork and kind of making a mark on the world in a positive manner since you were a child? Did you know that this was kind of something that you wanted to move into and do?
You know, as a child, it's funny. I always danced, and but I started playing drums when I was in fifth grade, and I really wanted to be a rock star, believe it or not. That's what I wanted to do with my life. But as I grew into out of high school and I got into college, and I had overcome some adversity in my life, and which, of course, humility always makes you appreciate and have a different perspective on things. And that kind of led me to my arts advocacy, which began in my college years. And I always wanted to create opportunities. And I served on lots of boards in Arizona. And, you know, I've always loved children as well. So I kind of united my love for children as well as because they deserve it. You know, they have they can't help whatever they're brought into, and you know, when they come into this world. And the arts are can be an expensive, especially in dance, to get the correct training needed to become a professional dancer. You know, people don't always have those opportunities. So I really want to, as sometimes I haven't in my own life. So I want to be able to provide that for everybody and anybody who wants it.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most amazing things in the world to take something like that, that you feel so hugely influenced to attack and change in a positive manner, and especially when it's involving children. And, you know, I'm doing the same thing out here. And when I go to these small little towns and these little counties in Eastern Kentucky, especially, I meet these people that are grown up now, might be 20 to 30 years old, maybe even older. Yeah. And when they were children, they never had that opportunity. Nobody ever told them that they could do anything else other than what they're doing now. And they're not doing anything now. They never really got out.
Right.
You know, they didn't go past middle school. A lot of them don't know how to read. And if you talk about leaving the county, why would they ever do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you mean. And that's what I want to kind of create, is with Art Moves Everywhere, is showcase leading artists that are known or unknown that are successful, because success doesn't mean celebrities. So success means conquering a dream, whether that becoming a fireman or whatever that is. To me, that's success. So showcasing leading artists and communities, known or unknown, and showing the adversity that they've overcome to making their dreams come true. Because, for example, where I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, I didn't have the resources that I always intrinsically wanted. They were not they just weren't accessible. So, you know, being able to and take them into institutions that any of them dream about going or don't even know exist. You know, it's like a field trip, but one we can all go on together and showcase other professions that exist in other parts of the world. You know, they can become curators. They can become program directors of art institutions. I mean, there's so many possibilities are out there, and I didn't know about them. So an arts educator, I feel important that they know the resources and to hear other people how they've overcome their adversity and how they did make their dreams come true. They need that so desperately, and I see it every day when I go to work.
Yeah, and you were talking about being a drummer, which is interesting because I recently saw a little girl when I was out in somewhere near Columbus, Ohio. It was called Thornville. I went to a music and arts festival up there.
Wonderful.
There is a little girl that played. Her name was Jaden Carlson. She was 12 years old, right? And she had a band, the Jaden Carlson band, and she was unbelievable. I mean, you would have thought Jimi Hendrix was up there on the stage just shred session it. Yeah, and she had two guys in her band, a bass player and a piano player. And this girl grew up with somebody telling her, yes, you can do this. You know, you can be creative. And her talent was like surpassing any of these people that had been playing their whole life. Like, she had a natural talent, yes.
Yeah.
But what if that same girl was never given a guitar? What if she was never told that she could do that? She wouldn't be there today. You know, who knows where she would be?
You got it. And that's where you see depression in within people, you know, not following their truth. And to me, you have to honor yourself and who you are and our gifts that are given to us and utilize them and to serve. You know, that's part of our life purpose. And sometimes I feel like people that don't get those opportunities don't know that, what they're, you know, and it creates a lot of internal havoc. So, and not to mention, as you know, the arts are such a therapeutic, which has helped me overcome when I was going through different issues in my life. It's helped me overcome so much. It's dance has provided me an outlet to express myself, as well as be creative and use all of the things that hardships and challenges and all the great things to share with my demographic, and hopefully give them the tools to create whatever they want. I just want to lead by example.
And you absolutely are doing that. And everybody is so thankful for people like you who are spreading this and keeping that positive energy rolling. I mean, just need to have a cross continent or cross country pizza party. We can give each other high fives and just, you know, throw down, boogie down, get a little funky. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Always. He's always getting funky.
Cynthia, tell us about Art Moves Everywhere. And I know you do the webisode and teaching platform and it's designed for children. And you emphasize those that are in remote areas with limited resources, which I come in contact with a lot out here. And I know you've got a book also, and you're doing some other cool things. You got those art cards and things like that. Tell us kind of what point in your life were you at where you found this gap and you were like, okay, this is something that I want to do. This is something that's going to change people. And in our pre-chat, you mentioned that it's kind of healed you. So can you get into that and the whole point of Art Moves Everywhere and where you're trying to go with it ultimately?
Absolutely. It initially started when LAUSD was having layoffs about 5 years ago. And my job was in jeopardy. And I'd always had this vision to create this book. And when my job was at stake, I knew I had a limited time to create this because I needed to photograph the children to create what I visioned. So I thought, well, if I lose my job, I know the impact that my job has. I've seen it on children and in education. So I thought, well, gee, if I lose my job, I need to create something tangible that will teach them what I teach them. So that's where Art Moves came in. And I wrote the book because I wanted something to leave with them in case I couldn't do my life work anymore. I was scared. So I used my fear and made it a positive and wrote the book. And then from the book stemmed a lot of workshops I did in the community. And then from there, the vocabulary that's in the book, I created educational cards with, it's a game. I've developed three games that I want to put into an app, making it an application. And so it's all education content. And it's relates to the book. And then in addition to that, I envisioned Art Moves Everywhere, a platform, again, like you reiterated, you know, to take children that live in remote areas with limited resources and expose them to the world of the arts in a sophisticated way, but, you know, child friendly, you know, let them have interviews. They would have a voice. They're going to have interaction on my game platforms where they can learn from each other. So I'm excited about the development of Art Moves Everywhere. Process, as you hear. I mean, I wrote the book already 3 years ago, and just recently the cards that I do want to make Braille to target the blind community and have them engage with kinesthetic learning and actually get them moving and have them intellectualize how art and dance unite and how it connects to the world. So that's another goal of mine. So I have so much I want to do, and I'm finding my way how to create it right now and actually make it come to fruition.
What's extremely important, obviously, is that we stay persistent and we make these benchmarks to get a little by little to that major goal. So do you have any habits or, you know, productivity methods that you are a fan of or that you have put into place to kind of keep you on track so that you can ultimately get to that long-term goal?
Absolutely. I made a commitment to myself to do one thing a day, whether it's an email, a letter, some kind of advocacy effort to be involved in, but I do at least one thing a day.
How much do you think that helps as far as getting in contact with people and, you know, building a network where you can kind of spread this as a cause?
You know, social networking has been wonderful for that. It's kind of like a game. I'm still learning how to utilize it to its fullest potential. So I think that is a great tool today. But it's, again, that market's so oversaturated. Sometimes it's hard to see everything and everybody. There's just so much. So then you look at a large group just, again, being kind of pushed to the side. It's really challenging to find that angle to let people know about what you're doing, you know? And that's where you come in, which you've created. Like, you know, we've discussed before, there's so much crazy things happening in the world today. You are bringing and delivering and showcasing people that are really doing things in communities to make a difference. And that's what the world needs right now. And like, you're a leader in it. I want to lead by example and be a role model for children and take them to these places and let them know how powerful they are, because we are our best secret weapons. You know, they need to know that. I always knew that kind of, Keith, but honestly, not until I got older and really got comfortable in my own skin did I realize how powerful each and every one of us are, you know?
Oh, I mean, we got superpowers.
You got it. We do. But children need to, that needs to be instilled in them. A lot of them I see every day, and I just see sometimes no hope, so sad in their eyes. And, you know, that's where we come in and say, you can do this. You know, these are all the challenges that I had, and you can overcome these issues by blah, 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 blah. You know, sometimes people are even scared to ask for help. Letting them know, giving them those tools that, you know, it's a, you know, asking for help is an intelligent move. You know, it doesn't show weakness, it shows strength. You know, all of those little things that, you know, we've all learned the hard way, you know, those lessons, and being able to share them with them is imperative. And I really feel like in the world we live today, because the parents are so busy, Heath, they're just both working two jobs. I see it every day, and it's just, we need to come in and lift them up.
Yeah. Societies and families and our culture as a whole is more disconnected than it has ever been, despite
Correct.
The internet.
Correct.
It's very, very backwards from what it might have been, you know, 200-300 years ago, where everybody was very close as a family. And now you're getting to the point where, you know, moms and dads are texting their kids that are one room away to tell them
Absolutely.
That dinner's ready.
Mm-hmm.
So to get these principles back in place, you know, to get out there and be one with each other, be one with the world, we need to have resources like, you know, this podcast and like Art Moves Everywhere to kind of instigate mm-hmm. this back up again. And it is an amazing thing. And I had I had another guest on a couple of days ago, George Seke, and mm-hmm. he was a Hungarian immigrant. He came over and had some very hard times. And back when there was a lot of wars and there was a lot of bad stuff going on over there in Germany, in Austria, in Hungary. And he's actually the art head over here at the University of Kentucky now. And he started up in Brooklyn, and he, I think about 20 years ago, he created this program called Adopt a School. And so he took the traditional method of teaching art as you bring your kids into a classroom and you teach them art. Now he's at this college and he doesn't let his students come to any classroom. There is no classroom. He sends every single one of them to children's schools. And has them work with the kids through their natural creativity to actually develop into somebody who wants to create art the way they want to do it. So he has them play. He has them dress up in capes and come to class. He has them play underneath the desk and use
wonderful.
Throw all the paintbrushes and everything else away you use whatever is around you in your natural surroundings to do the artwork with. So, you know, you're taking rocks and you're taking leaves and you're taking, you know, anything in the classroom, and you're using that to create your canvas. And it's such a different way to look at it. But I think people like that are, I mean, they're revolutionizing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's thank you for sharing. That's inspiring, because ultimately it comes down to storytelling. And that's what I've really been emphasizing a lot lately, is just, we all have a story, and that's really what you do. You know, you're sharing stories, and that's being truthful is another secret weapon, so to speak, you know, saying your truth. You know, I let my students know that, you know, during my college years, I didn't know if I could finish. My father passed away and my whole life changed on a dime. And how do you get through that? Well, a lot of grant, you know, writing for scholarships, applying for financial aid, but I got through it, you know, leading by example again, hardships, struggles financially, so on and so forth. And yet we can overcome it. And those challenges have been my greatest gifts, Heath.
Yeah, you're obviously pursuing a life of passion to become the best version of yourself that you can be. And
yes.
I love to see that, and I love to see the continued progress. But, you know, given this art moves everywhere, there's obviously a huge cause behind it, and there's a lot of heart and a lot of passion, but there's something much bigger that is kind of moving you to do this. Can you explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. It was all the adversity I had overcome and I had felt, and I know I'm not alone with all the different students I've met throughout my years as educator. And knowing that, I know there's all over the world children that they don't have the resources financially, they're disadvantaged because of their location, and being able to bring them into the world and let them see, not only even in the arts, Heath, but creativity lies in software development, in medical. You know, creativity is across the board in curriculum. So being able to show how, even though you might not be good at art, or art not might be your thing, but you can utilize creativity in whatever subject area you are most confident in. And Steve Jobs is a great example of that. I mean, we could go on and on. But creativity is an outlet I believe everybody needs to be successful, especially in today's world. Strategy. And I mean, we could go on and on about it.
Shoo-wee. I mean, you got to give it up for creativity. I'm doing two fist pumps right now, both hands straight up in the air.
I am too. We got four going.
Yeah, I can feel it. I'm just pumping them out right now. Amazing. So
yeah.
Obviously creativity is a driving force behind this show and every single guest that I have on. And I am 100% in agreement with you on all of that stuff. So it's amazing to meet people like you to be able to keep this ball rolling. And I do want to say thank you for that.
Oh, well, and I thank you as well. It's so reciprocal. And as you probably found, that the more I give, the more I receive, you know. And a lot of my years of teaching, I have to admit, I've been in LA by myself. My family resides in Arizona. And I was single a lot of those years. And I received my most love from the children. I love them all unconditionally, and they just deserve to be exposed despite their socioeconomic status, where they live, and just deliver that to them and expose them and show the Fleas, you know, in LA. Flea was a bass player of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, he has overcome so much adversity and has donated school music, and he's getting his PhD in music. Utilize people like that, that they are their role model, they love them as well, and show how these people they did something and they didn't let anything stop them, and all the challenges and hardships that they went through to get there to make their dreams come true, because they can. So I'm ready to pump them up. Let's get this done, Heath.
Yeah. Let's get super funky. We got, yeah. I'm a huge advocate of people who really did overcome these gigantic leaps that they had to get to where they are. And I mean, I have the uttermost respect for these people. And if they can do some of the things that they've done, You know, we can take one step forward and do one thing every single day, or you know, move in the right direction every single day to follow that passion, to make a difference in the world. And like Hal Elrod, episode 16, he died for 6 minutes. I mean, the guy died on the side of the road for 6 minutes. He got hit by a drunk driver.
Oh.
He woke up. They revived him. They told him he was never going to walk again.
Oh.
They told him that he was going to have permanent brain damage.
Oh.
And what he thought right there on the spot was, well, if this is what has happened to me, then I have two choices. I can either sit here and I can mope and cry and whine and make the rest of my life miserable and painful, or I can accept the fact that I can't change this, and I can be happy about who I am and the fact that I have life and that I'm here on this earth and take advantage of the things that I can do. And you know what? 9 days later, he took his first step. And about a year later, he ran a 52-mile marathon.
Oh.
And then he created record-breaking sales figures at his job and ended up writing this morning routine, which was actually what instigated me to change my entire life and start on this path. And you can read all about that. He's got a book called The Miracle Morning. I highly suggest anybody checks out. It is about changing your morning. I mean, it's like you take that first hour of your day, which has actually started as an hour for me, and now I've kind of gotten myself to where I'm waking up at 4 a.m. now, and it's about 3 hours. And it's revolutionary. I mean, you go through meditation. You go through visualizing where you want to be. You do a little reading, you go a little writing, and it's amazing where you can get.
Absolutely. You know what, Heath, I do that. I wake up at 5 every morning because I love twilight time. It's my favorite time.
It's the best.
And yeah, and I do meditate. I light candles and I watch the sun come up, and just having that tranquil alone time, the city's quiet, and it's my time, and we all deserve that. We all deserve our own time. And I try to implement that in my classroom as well and let them know that, you know, or even hug themselves and let them know it's good to love yourself. And it's important to love yourself because we're always hugging everybody else and giving, hopefully, right? It's important to also love yourself and hug yourself and be good to yourself. And those are important reminders, and I'm with you. I'll be thinking of you, Heath, at 5 in the morning. I'll be like, Heath's already been up for a few hours now.
Well, I mean, I guess if I'm getting up at 4, it's really, you're probably still up partying at 1 a.m. out there.
Oh, I don't party. I'm busy working on art moves everywhere, every minute. And it's not work, Heath. It's just fun. It's just fun. I love inventing and creating opportunities for kids, and I'm excited about the app and getting them engaged in arts education literacy through my book. I plan to do a series, so there's gonna be writing moves, music moves, so there's gonna be a move series to accompany. I have two fiction books I have intentions to do. I just need more time to get it all in, and I'm excited about it all. And I wanted to also share with you, in terms of uniting family together, I created a art moves placemat that's been implemented in some local eateries here in Los Angeles to unite parents and their children together while waiting for their favorite meal. They can learn art moves vocabulary and color, and there's crossword puzzles and word searches, so they can learn yet have fun and create. And it engages both parents and the child, which again has been lost with the iPads. You know, we go to these, at least out here anyway, I'll speak on behalf of Los Angeles. Every child has a Kindle, iPad, some kind of electronic gadget in their hand, and that's not an acceptable babysitter anymore.
I know. That's amazing that you're doing that with the mats. And I saw the logo, I think, of the Ronald McDonald. Something there, which is fantastic.
Thank you so much. Yes, they're such wonderful. A good idea. Thank you so much. They just sometimes these visions just come to me out of nowhere. And I'm like, okay, let's get going. And I have so much fun doing it. I love creating it. I created some bookmarks as well that I use as rewards in my classroom, Art Moves bookmarks. And also just to encourage literacy and encourage them to read. you know, get off the iPad and you know, and stop playing video games, and let's get you engaged in some, and to get it, deepen their connection to themselves, you know, kinesthetically, intellectually. And you know, that's the beauty of dance, is that it's spirit, mind, and body. And at school, they're just really sitting so much and just intellectualizing. And that's where I feel movement so important, to become a whole person, to connect to yourself. And interestingly enough, Keith, you know, I've battled my issues with some of the boys in my classroom saying, oh, dance is for girls. You know, they have this preconceived idea. But when you look at movement for movement's sake, we were all born, when we were born, we were moving, and we move as a modality just to survive every day. We walk, we bend, you know, that's how we function. That's our structure. So when you break it down like that and look at NBA athletes, to me, are dancers. So anyone who comes up to me and says, I can't dance, I say, well, yes, you can, but you're just not in the right mindset. So when I break it down in a real humanity level, they're like, oh, okay, I get it now. And then I can get them all engaged that way, utilizing themes that they like travel, secret agent spies, artwork, things that are very gender friendly. I do a thing with the NBA, with the Miami Heat. They collaborate with the Miami City Ballet and did a campaign, and which is beautiful for me to use, because it shows that, you know, dancers are athletes as well, like NBA players, and it showcases how aligned they are, and that basketball players have a stage too. It's their core, and they travel and move across the stage, and they're also storytelling as well. So, you know, you connect the art with other things within the world, because they're all not going to become artists, and just have them respect and appreciate what it is they're looking at, and maybe see it in a new, in a new angle. And they can go, oh, I get it. And so that's really what I love, I think, most about what I do is, and that's what Art Moves Everywhere will do as well. It just, it shows the whole world and how it, how art connects to everywhere through geography, history. You know, it's, you know, it's going to take them on a journey, journey of fun field trips,
a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is definitely through creating and not possessing that life is revealed. And so we move in that direction, and nothing can stop it. I mean, you're right. It's not work. It's the most fun you'll ever have in your life is to create something that was not here before. You're creating something that was not here.
Well, it's kind of like, absolutely. And one of my biggest inspirations is Mr. Walt Disney, because he created I always tell my students, just off pure imagination. He used his imagination and created an empire. And he is probably one of my number ones. You know, I love Jacqueline Onassis, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. You know, she brought the first dancer to the White House. You know, these people made such impact in the world we live in today. It's that inspires me to see, well, other people did it as well, especially when you look at Walt Disney and where he came from and what he had to overcome, so much adversity. And people laughed at him and thought he was crazy, and he knew he trusted himself. And I think that's another important thing, is trust. You know, we have to trust our instincts and honor them and move forward despite what anybody says, and honor our truth, because that's at the end, that's all we have.
Yeah. Follow the gut. You know, if I'm sitting here and I think that I need to run outside and do some naked snow angels or something, then I'm going to do it. That's what my gut's telling me. But I really do think that not enough people make that step forward. You know, they don't get out of their comfort zone, and they don't attack those things that they feel like they should be doing. They just never do. And then at the end of their life, they look back and they're like, I really should have done that. You know, why did I never do that? But then you're out of time. And the time is now, you know, it is right now.
You got it. And, you know, that was kind of my fear initially when I started writing the book. I said, oh my, I just have X amount of time to get these shots done. If I lose my job, it needs to be now. And I knew at that point it was now or never. And then, and it was a blessing in disguise that I was going to lose my job. Luckily I didn't. And I was blessed to have maintained it, but it also provided me that platform to create and really lead by example what I do. And it's important also for the children to see, well, yeah, I wrote a book, you know, and you can do this too. And you can, you know, I love using Walt Disney in my classroom. I love using the Angelina Jolies, you know, female role models, the, you know, so many women that have inspired me, and that they need to know that, you know, you have yours too. Who are they and why? You know, what have they done? You know, we need to focus on really good role models, which I think, as we know, it's in our society, it's kind of seems backwards to me. So, yeah, that's another mission of mine. Let's get some people in there on the forefront that can really contribute and help and make a difference.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, just like you're doing, Heath, and you're inspiring to me, and so many, there's so many people that are, and I'm you just, use your, just using creativity and imagination, and being an inventor, and a thinker, and a philosopher, and a historian, and all those wonderful things that connect us to the world we live in.
Yeah, bingo for show. I mean, I try to do the best I can just to keep it funky, keep it heady, and keep on moving in the right direction. And everybody can do that. And a good thing that I think helps on a smaller level, if somebody is really having trouble getting to that point, make a visualization board. Guys, put a tack
you got it
up. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day. Go get some magazines, get on the internet, and print out what you want to be. And if it's something that you want to buy, fine. Just write... print it out and write mine on it. Put it up on your board. If it's something that you want to become, you know, Photoshop yourself into a picture of a wizard on top of a mountain if that's what you want to be, and put it up there. If you look at that every single day, you'll keep being reminded, and you will make an effort to move towards it a little bit every single day. All the stuff on that board will be gone before you know it, and it'll be a reality.
You know, I'm with you. I actually did that. I did do that, Heath, and I see me as the creative director and host of Art Moves Everywhere.
Yeah.
There you go. And I have different pictures of, you know, places I would love to take the kids on field trips and share, and people that I already have lined up that I want to interview, and making it a reality. Oh, it's fun.
And it's amazing. And there's nothing that's going to stand in between you getting to that point. And sometimes things don't work out. I understand that. But if you make steps towards that thing, if you try to do something, you'll learn something else from the whole experience. And it's not going to be a failure. I mean, the only time something is a failure is if you quit. You can put something to bed as a failure. You could say, this didn't work out. Okay, I'm going to put this to sleep. That's not a failure. You know, you learn something from that experience. But if you say, I doubt myself, I quit, and never go do anything else again, that's a failure. And it doesn't have to be like that.
Nope. There's always a resource. Sometimes we just have a voice, or have the confidence to have a voice to ask. And absolutely, I'm with you.
Yeah. Do a little boogie, shake the booty, and ask, you know?
I'm moving in my sleep.
Yeah. So, Cynthia, if you woke up one morning and you were with David Bowie, like Ziggy Stardust era David Bowie, right?
Yeah.
And you had the chance to do either the Funky Chicken or the Hokey Pokey or the Limbo... in the front row, and maybe even up on stage if you got lucky, pulled you up there. Which one of those amazing little funky dances would you do?
I'm going to just go with the Limbo. I could use his microphone cord. Well, if he has a cord, he could be cordless. But if he has a cord, we could always use that. And I could use that as a prop in my dance, you know?
So, yeah, we were at a festival. It was actually a Dark Star Orchestra music festival, which was up in Ohio somewhere. And that's a Grateful Dead cover band. And they have that real, you know, that their following is just all those old deadheads. I mean, it's a pretty dirty crowd, great music, pretty rough crowd. And all these other bands that are playing there, obviously, too. So there's lots of good music. But there was this guy, and his name was Frank, and he looked like a little wizard. I mean, this guy was like 5 feet tall. He had long hair. He'd been at it for a long time.
Yeah.
He was wearing this amazing outfit. I mean, this was like taking disco to the extreme. And out there by himself, he's got this big old cane he's holding, and he's handing out these little tiny books called, they're just say Frankisms, and they're quotes that he's written over his lifetime. And it's just one quote per page, and they're pocket sized books. And you would not believe the quotes that were in these books. They were hilarious. But he took his cane at one point and he held it out, and one girl went under it like the limbo. And that little burst of energy turned into like so many people getting in line and freaking out and doing the limbo for like an entire like 15-minute song, you know. And he was having the time of his life. Like, look at that evolved from. And it just the limbo is amazing, and it's amazing what you can do from taking something so small and what it can grow to, you know, if other people catch on and they see what you're doing, they want to join in, and you can get that momentum and keep it rolling.
Absolutely. It is. It really is. And that's the beauty of dance, is that it does engage and unite everybody, like music, like film, and every art medium. It really is, all of them are a celebration of life. And that's what I think I love most. And when I feel my happiest and shiniest and my most fulfilled is when I'm dancing with the children, because it's unity and it's a celebration of our spirits and oneness of our humanity. And it's just the most beautiful feeling. And I'm feel blessed that I can have that every day in my life, because it's love. And
there's nothing better than just feeling alive. I mean, I saw, I don't know who this was the other day, he wrote a message and I was reading it, and it said, if you are reading this, then you are alive. And if that's not enough to make you smile, maybe this will be a reminder. And I was just like, you know, that's so powerful. Like,
it
if
is.
You're reading this, you are alive, and that should be enough to make you smile. And so I was leaving a hotel this morning, and I had they give you those little pads on the table. So I wrote that down on the table, on the pad. I mean, not on the table. I'm not like tagging tables or anything, but I left it there in the room just to pass it forward. And maybe it kept going. Maybe it did, but it's an amazing thing. Like, we are alive, and it is the most beautiful thing in the world. I mean, you're not going to get anything better than that.
No. And I think not to utilize your assets and talents and gifts, it's a shame. It really is. And I think that's one, our purpose is to give and to share and to, for peace and to make the world a better place and to lead by example. And there's really nothing else. And for me, other than that, it's, you know, really when you break it down to its lowest common denominator, that's just what it comes down to for me. And, I just want to utilize everything that I have and share it and celebrate and embrace humanity, unite humanity, and inspire and educate. You know, it's through collaboration, whether it's through the webisodes, the potential television show that I envision, you know, and being able to share success stories from other children on, you know, broadcasted live, you know, and let them know, you know, some of the ones that have been inspired by the show that have made differences, or they realize something, or they learn something about themselves. Because ultimately, that's really, I think, the purpose of education is just to, for them to understand self, and which is a very deep and complicated, obviously, thing. But at least if they can, if they know how to connect or find different ways, whether it's through visual art or movement or music or science, whatever it is, they just need to know to take ownership of it, despite anything, you know. I've seen so many cases, as we all have, you know, children are so influenced by their parents and they want them to be or have an idea of how they want them to be. They need to know that they have their own voice and they're their own person, and that it's okay to honor themselves, and that's loving themselves and respecting themselves. And they need to know that. I was a product of that a little bit before my dad passed. He really wanted me to go into elementary education, and I started doing some volunteer work, and I went, this is not for me. And with the unfortunate of what happened, I mean, he passed. And after that, my mother encouraged me. I came to her one day and I said, I don't want to do that. You know, I was at a point in my life where I was trying to, you know, like most people in college are trying to figure out what we want to do with our lives. And I said, I knew I wanted to be a dance major. And she encouraged me. She goes, I believe that if you're passionate about it, you will be able to support yourself. Because my father was always very negative about that. Oh, you need, it's going to be a hard life, blah, 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 blah. Not that it's not. And the reality, yes, it is, depending on what route you take. But I was grateful to have my mother stand behind me and encourage me to audition and to get into the university dance program. And that was really the best thing that could have happened to me, because I was behind a lot of the other dancers because they all came from big cities and had this grandiose technical background. And living in Tucson, I was so limited with the kind of studies that I could really do. So the bulk of my studies were at the university, so I grew leaps and bounds. It was one of the most challenging times in my life, not only technically as a dancer, but I lost my father in the middle of going to school, which was definitely hard as well. Can I finish this program? I'm in the, you know, all these questions arose out of nowhere. So I got through it, bottom line, and I grew from it. And that's where my advocacy came in. And I saw what I lacked, but I didn't know what I lacked until I got into the program and went, wow, these girls are phenomenal. And I knew how much work I had to do to catch up. And again, that goes back to the limited resources that were available where I came from. You know, Alvin Ailey and Martha Graham was not down the street. You know, and we all have dreams of like, oh God, I'd love to study in New York one day and, you know, be able to go to Europe and see where the foundation of the art form that I love so much, where the origin of it came from, and just see that, you know, and be able to, it connects you in a different way. And it's back to that experience. Like you were talking, you referenced an interview you had previously with the gentleman that created the utilizing the rocks and the trees and creating an experience to connect you deeper to whatever it is, whatever it may be, whatever subject. For me, it would be dance, you know, but experience is everything, you know?
Yeah. And enthusiasm is infectious.
Yeah, it is. And so are smiles.
So even if someone was to go out there and literally open a door for someone that usually doesn't have the door open for them, they might turn that around and do something nice for somebody else. And it keeps going. It really does. And I know they've had those commercials that were like that, that will remind you, but it's true. I mean, it really happens. So.
Oh, it does. It does. Again, it comes down to that leading by example. I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead, and I'm also going to get show me, don't tell me. I'm always saying that. Show me, don't tell me. Show me with your body. Don't use your mouth.
Well, if you put that on your forehead and go down to like Panama City for spring break, I mean, I don't know how good of an idea.
That would not be a good idea. Maybe I'll just get a t-shirt and wear it to work. Maybe that's a better idea.
Spring break 2003. Woo.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. So, hey, if you could spend a little bit of time creating something with anybody from the past or present, who do you think it would be and what would you create?
Two people come to mind. But if I had to pick one, I think it'd be Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Michael. It is amazing, Heath, what I've seen before he died and after. When I see kindergartners, when I play his music, know the words and move, and it blows my mind and it gives me chills. The impact he's had on children and in the music, and they love him so much. He's so alive, and I feel it every day in my work. And I think to be able to create something with him through utilizing creativity and children through dance and movement would be amazing.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not sure there's anybody else that I would choose over him with that question was asked to me either. I mean, he has played the most phenomenal role on any type of creativity and any type of influence. I mean,
yeah,
it's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. The guy was the most alive that he could possibly be.
Indeed. Indeed. And he shared it with the world, and he's still alive very much. And we celebrate him all the time. And to see the kids, the joy, as soon as I push the play button and it comes on, to see the response it's beautiful. It truly is beautiful. They illuminate. They just, sometimes they scream and they jump and they just love it so, so much. It's moving to me so much. I get the chills, you know.
I used to watch it when I was a little kid constantly. My mom would tape those on like the VHS, and I had all of his videos, and that one DVD or that one tape that he did, he was all over the place. It was pretty amazing, on a motorcycle flying around. And to this day, that the VMAs, I think it was, that did that hologram of him or whatever.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, that was unbelievable. I mean, it gave me chills.
Absolutely. I mean, he's just such a great, resource to me in my classroom. I play this, the Making of Thriller, and it's also educational for our youth to see where we've come as a society with technology, because I love showing them in the Making of Thriller. Not only do they show up what a professional dance studio looks like, because many of my students have never been in a professional dance studio, so it shows them what that is. It shows Michael working with the choreographer, and it shows Michael taking direction from someone, which most people, it's funny to see, because he's always the creative, you know, guru, we believe, that's in charge of everything, and he's really not. I mean, he has the end say, of course, but Michael Peters, who choreographed Thriller, you know, ultimately, and just to see Michael working and collaborating with other dancers is important for them to see the creative process that's involved. And when it came to the costuming, you know, back then they were using, you know, it took them days, you know, I'm exaggerating, but to put on the layers of prosthetics and everything that they used to create the monsters. And, you know, and today we just turn on the computer and can create that, you know, in probably like 10 minutes, you know, a high school student can. It's unbelievable. So it's good for them to see the process that we've made in our technology and how it's changed our art as well. So, Michael's just a wonderful resource, wonderful example, and they all love him very, very, very much.
And how could you not?
Yeah, I know. He is love. You know, he radiated so much love.
So if you're that guy out there listening right now, it's like, I hate Michael Jackson. I want you to send me a tweet at HB_Armstrong. Just send it to me and just so I can see who you are.
Yeah, right.
I'll do something special for you to change your mind, I promise.
Yeah. Oh, well, we celebrate Michael. I know you do, and the children and I do, almost every day. So he's our inspiration still and always will be. And he left a legacy. And honestly, that's my end result, is to, you know, leave a legacy for children and something to give them permanently, you know, like a Walt Disney, like the Michael Jackson, and just deliver good content that can stay alive and someone would want to keep it alive. So, and my book series, that won't go anywhere, but in terms of the Art Moves Everywhere, webisodes and television, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see day by day, Keith, you know, a letter at a time, one letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you had to battle Godzilla.
Yes.
How would you use your creativity or talents to defeat that big, ugly bastard?
Oh, well, Heath, I'm going to go back to King Kong versus Godzilla. And I'd give him some berry juice and serenade him to sleep with some ballet or some type of movement to enchant him. Is that acceptable?
Oh yeah. Well, what would you do once he was asleep?
I'd run for my life. I'd run for the hills.
Get the hell out of there, right?
Yeah. Run like hell, as Pink Floyd would say. Out of there.
Pink Floyd's like my favorite band ever.
Ah, I don't believe that's funny. Ironically, I say that. Yeah, they're amazing. They're one of mine with Rush and
composers,
so many
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, just brilliant.
Run.
Yeah.
Over and over again. I like to love this band, the Disco Biscuits. They're very high energy, kind of like a newer progressive. I don't want to say rock. It is just, they're not a jam band. They're not a rock band. Very progressive, but I guess you could put them in the jam band category, but a little bit more electronic. But they just, four guys that will just build up a song for like 20 minutes. It'll start out slow and then it'll get to the point where you're just like jumping up and down, fist pumping, like putting your head through the wall, taking your pants off and running around outside. And they cover Run Like Hell, and it's always a treat when they do it.
Oh, I bet. I'd be curious to it. Hey, speaking of covers, remember in Michael Jackson, remember Alien Ant Farm, the one hit wonder they did Michael Jackson's
Oh, yeah.
Smooth Criminal?
Oh, yeah.
I've actually played that today. The kids loved it. They really enjoyed it.
It was an amazing cover.
Yeah. I was just saying today, I thought, wow, what, it took some nerve. Like, it has to take some nerve to even attempt to cover a Michael Jackson song. Like, really? Wow. Okay. It's like trying to cover, it's hard to do with those iconic, artists. It's just, wow, really? You're going to attempt that? Good luck. And they did it. And they killed it. They were awesome.
Yeah, that album was amazing, actually. It was called Anthology, I remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came out with probably three or four albums after that. Not anything that ever went anywhere.
Right.
But that full album, even though they only had that one song that was really a one hit wonder, I think they had one more song. You'd probably know what it was if it was called Movies.
Movies. I'm not sure, honestly.
It came out probably, a couple months after the Smooth Criminal died down. They had that Movies song. And if you listen to it, you'd remember it. But yeah, they had some balls, and good for them. You should be able to follow what you, they had the gut feeling,
See, they're bingo. Yeah, they did. And they went with it, and they did. They destroyed it.
And
they really did.
It worked out for them,
So yeah.
Wherever they are now, I just want to say thanks, because you guys are awesome.
Yeah, I want to say thanks, too, because they put lots of smiles on our faces today. That's for sure.
I remember when he leaned in the music video and touched the mailbox and it lit up.
Oh, I don't remember that. I
just
really
Just like Michael Jackson. So.
Yeah, when he steps. Yeah. Good old Billie Jean, baby.
Oh, man. I'm just going to spend, I'm not even going to sleep tonight. I'm just going to watch Michael Jackson videos on YouTube.
I know, you inspired me. I'm like, God, I need to go revisit that Alien Ant Farm and see that mailbox light up.
Yeah. And you were talking about Flea earlier, and I got to see him out here. He played with, he played with Tom York.
Awesome.
Adams for Peace. They played out here in Nashville.
Wonderful.
And there was like nobody there. I mean, they were all wearing, you know, Tom and Flea were both wearing kilts. So you get Tom York from, you know, Radiohead's like,
yeah, Radiohead.
Oh my gosh. They're,
yeah.
I couldn't express to you what that band means to me, but seeing Flea with Tom,
yeah,
the energy those two had together was unbelievable. I mean, they love each other and they click. I mean, they just get it. They get each other, and it was a good time. So
it's beautiful when artists can just have that unspoken language and you just feel it and you see the chemistry and you're a part of it. It's enchanting. It's magical, you know?
It's magical.
Yeah. It is. It is magic.
Yeah, definitely. So do you have any closing advice that you want to give our listeners?
You know, the best advice I can give is it's just so simple. It's just be true and be you. Be truthful to yourself and just be yourself and be comfortable being yourself and honor that and own it. And you'll never go wrong.
Yeah, beautiful. Simple and beautiful. Own up to it. Be yourself.
Be true, be you, Heath.
I know. I love that. You know, I don't think I've ever heard that before either. Did you make that one up?
You know it.
That'd probably be a better one to tattoo on your forehead than like, show me with
your, be you.
Show me with your body. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
People might get
show me.
Wrong,
don't.
They might get the wrong impression with that one.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. No more show me, don't tell me. We'll go with be true, be you.
And how can our listeners find you and get in contact with you and check out more about Art Moves Everywhere and just tag along for the ride for some inspiration?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at C Meltenberger, and that's M-I-L-T-E-N is in Nancy, B-E-R, G is in George, E-R. And you can find me, you can just Google Art Moves and it'll come right up and all my links show up there as well.
Awesome. So everybody remember, you know, if you're going to write the story of your life, don't let anybody else hold the pen.
You got it
out there. Find the things that you fear and do them first, and then genuinely find that thing that excites you and follow it. Just keep following it. Don't worry about all the other things that people tell you can't do. You can do everything that you put your mind to.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I couldn't agree more, Heath.
Absolutely. And I want to say thank you for coming on the show and sharing this. This has truly been one of the most remarkable conversations I've ever had. And I will remember it forever. And I've truly been honored to have you here. And I hope that we can get you on again in the future once you get this ball rolling even farther, you know, and we can talk about the progress that you've made and the benchmarks that you've hit. And it'll be funky and exciting.
I would love that so much. And it's an honor to be on your show. And thank you for all you do and sharing your light and the light of others. It's such a reciprocal thing you've provided. And it inspires me to keep my reciprocal movement going. And thank you again. And I'd be honored to come back anytime. And I'll keep you posted on my benchmarks. And thank you, Heath.
Oh, you are most welcome. And I just truly love doing this. It's amazing. And everybody out there, you know, it's always going to seem impossible until it's done. You just got to start it. Get out of your comfort zone. Do a little boogie. Do a little dive. Do a little dance. Get funky. Give somebody a high five. Go knock on your neighbor's door at 1 o'clock in the morning and just give them a hug when they come out with a shotgun. You know, do something awesome. You know, just be awesome. Doing something awesome over something not awesome is the key to life. Just make that decision. And if your ears hang low and if they wobble to the front, you can go ahead and tie them in a knot now because this interview is over. And Cynthia, thank you so much for being the archipreneur now.
Thank always, you, Heath.
Yeah, always remember to keep it funky.
Always.
Thank you for listening to the Archipreneur Now podcast. For all the show notes and more information, please visit artsynow.com. That's artsynow.com. Thank you.
The music for this podcast was provided by Shaky Feeling out of Ventura, California. For more information, please visit shakyfeeling.com.
keep it funky.